Well, hello. It's so good to see you all. Thank you for choosing to spend a little bit of your Labor Day weekend with us. Hopefully you're having a good one so far. And if you're watching online, thanks for being here. And hopefully you're enjoying your weekend as well. I'm Jason. I am one of the pastors here, and I'm really happy to be here with you. Just a little tease for next week. Next week, we're starting a brand new series. Pastor Rick's back, and he's going to be starting a series called Keeping Your Head, I think that's what it's called. I almost forgot. That's not good. But it'll be great, so you should be here. Invite friends, come and celebrate with us. So today, we are actually, if we're starting a new one next week, that means we're finishing up our series, The Bones Are Good, today. And this is the ninth week in this series, and we've been kind of walking through song lyrics for this song called The Bones by Maren Morris. I don't know if you've heard it, but we've been kind of going through some of the lyrics of that because when we were reading through the lyrics, a lot of those lyrics kind of had some really cool parallels to our faith. And so we thought we'd kind of explore what that looked like. And so along the way, we've been looking at, especially that line, the house won't fall when the bones are good. And so we've looked at kind of what are good bones, how do I get good bones, how do I keep good bones, all that kind of stuff. And today we're going to wrap this series up by kind of taking the next step with that and asking the question, okay, so now that the bones are good, now what? All right, so now that we've figured all that kind of stuff out, now what do we do? What do I do with that? Where do we go from here? And when we talk about this house not falling when the bones are good, we're really talking about us, right? We're talking about us not falling. We're talking about people. When our foundation is healthy, we're not going to fall. But if we look at those words and we take it literally, the house won't fall if the bones were good. I watch a lot of HGTV. I don't know if you do. I learn a lot. And I have learned by watching this that when you build a house the right way and with the right materials, generally speaking, it does not fall. It stands well. It stands tall. And I've also learned that if you don't do that, then it doesn't work out very well, right? And I've also learned there's a lot of things that go into making a house work well. Obviously, the foundation, what we've been talking about, the bones, getting those right, but also there's a lot of other things that go into making a house look good and work well. And a lot of that comes from, you know, whatever color paint you choose or how you choose to decorate it, right? All of those kind of things go into that. And I was thinking it's also what you do to maintain it. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of work to keep your house looking nice. And you can't just build it up and neglect it, or pretty soon, after a while, your house begins to look run down, right? I've seen a lot of houses that are still standing that look like hurricanes have hit them. I've seen a lot of people who are still standing that look like hurricanes have hit them, to be honest with you. But, I mean, that's what happens when we don't maintain our house ourselves, right? At some point, we begin to tire. At some point, we begin to get weathered and be run down. And you can have good bones and still look like that. You can have good bones and still go through seasons where that is the case. And your house might not fall, but you got cobwebs everywhere. And if you're not taking care of it, it stands the reason that you're probably not getting the most out of your house. And so we spent the last 8 weeks looking at these bones, shoring up the foundations of our houses, of ourselves. And today we're going to look ahead and see what we can do to get the very most out of this house that God has given us, to get the most out of life, focusing on using what we've been given to the fullest. Have you ever gone to the store and you're looking for clothes and you get to that, maybe you're looking at the labels on the clothes, and one of the labels that always strikes me is this, the label that says made of the finest quality, whatever it is, finest quality leather or pleather. Is there a fine quality pleather? I don't know if that's a thing. I think that's the opposite, but you see those labels, you're like, this is made of the finest quality. And when I see that, instantly my mind says, oh, this is a good product. And I think that's what they want you to think, right? That this product, this whatever it is going to perform well because it said it's made of the finest quality. And I got to thinking about us and that parallel with us. And I got to thinking about us and the fact that you and I, we're made from the finest quality. We're made in God's image. There's nothing better than that. So we're made of the finest quality. So then I had to ask the question, am I performing like I should be? And not like performing like I'm on a stage, but am I conducting my life like I'm one who's made of the finest quality? Because we should be, right? Do we have that Made in Heaven sticker on us somewhere, right? Are we living up to that sticker that's been placed on us? What are we doing with what we've been given? There's a word that I heard growing up a lot in church, and it's the word stewardship. I don't know if you've ever heard that word, but a lot of times they use that word to talk about money stuff. And we're going to talk about today, I want to talk about what it means to be a good steward. Not Stuart. So if your name is Stuart, just dismiss this. We're talking about the word steward. And a steward is someone who manages things. So a steward is someone who manages or cares for something that's in front of them, that they've been given, whether it's their house, whether it's their job. It's someone who stewards and oversees something or someone or someplace. That's what a steward is. And here's the deal. All of us, we're all stewards. You are a steward. I am a steward. We are all stewards because if you think about it, look around you, all the things that you have in life, those are all gifts from God. God has given you those, and he's given those to us to steward, to manage well. He's saying, hey, this is mine, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it on loan to you so that you can care for it, so that you can use it well. This is a gift to you. And he expects us to be good stewards, to be good managers of what he's given us and what he's blessed us with. And when we do that well, when we manage those things well, that's honoring to him. That is worship. When we steward what he's given us well, we are worshiping him. And when we don't do it well, though, when we neglect the things that he's blessed us with, that's when we start looking like that house that's tired and run down. All right? Neglect isn't honoring to God. We're called to worship God, to honor him by stewarding what we've been blessed with. And so what are you doing with what God has entrusted you with? What are you doing with that? Everyone is given something different in life. We've all been given different things and different levels of things. Some have been given, you know, metaphorically speaking, mansions, and others seems like they've been given duplexes or whatever it is. You know, we've all been given different things with which to steward, right? But we are all blessed because all that we've been given is from God. We're all blessed. And the true blessing in life is Jesus. He's it. If we talked over the last 8 weeks, hopefully you've noticed this, that Jesus is the key to good bones. If you want good bones in life, it starts with Jesus. If you want a solid foundation, it starts with Jesus. If he's the foundation you're building on, if he's what it is, then your bones will be good no matter what happens. So what do we do with those good bones? What do we do with this life that we've been given? Because I'm not just satisfied having a house with good bones and then nothing else is happening. I want to thrive. Don't you? Don't you want to thrive? Do you want to live a life that grows, that truly lives? And that's the life that we're called to. That's the life that God wants for us. But it's not just given to us. We got to seize it. You know, my friend Shirley went to this conference a few years back, and she came back with a whole bunch of notes. And I got to look over them, and there was one phrase in the notes that one of the speakers had said that really impacted me. And I haven't forgotten it, and it has made an impact on me, and it's this, and it has everything to do with what we're talking about today. In life, you can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't make both. In life, you can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't make both. So what are you doing with the house that God has blessed you with? Are you making progress? Or are you making excuses? How are you wisely using what God has blessed you with? And maybe we should do this. Maybe we should define that real quick. Let's define what God has blessed you with, because I think a lot of times it's hard to recognize all the blessings in our life, because sometimes we can only see what's right in front of us, right? And so I have a list of things that are blessings from God, some of which you might be like, I don't think that's a blessing at all. But let me explain. It is. All of these God has given, and we can use to glorify him and for great things. So here's just a list, a short list that doesn't even cover the multitude of them, but we've all been blessed with a heartbeat, and breath in our lungs, right? We've been blessed with life. Everyone's been blessed with a story. You've got a story. How you got from birth to where you are is an amazing story, and it's a story God wants to use and can use to do great things in this life. So you've been blessed with a story. We've been blessed with a family. And family looks a lot of different ways. For some of you, you've got a great biological family. That's awesome. Some of you, maybe you don't have that, but you've got a group of friends that you say, this is my family. Or maybe you look at this place, and once we believe in Jesus, we know that we're a part of the body of Christ, right? And this Grace Church family is your family. We've been blessed with a family. Some of you have been blessed with great health. Some of you have been blessed with poor health. And you're like, blessed with poor health? Yes, blessed. I was talking to someone the other day, a couple years ago, a friend of mine had cancer. And she looks back on it. She says, man, what a blessing it was. You don't know how many people I got to meet and how many people I got to share hope with and share Jesus with. What a blessing it was. Man, some of you have been blessed with a marriage. Are you giving your marriage everything you can? How are you stewarding and managing that marriage that you've been blessed with? Some of you have been blessed with kids. Some of you, depending on your morning, maybe haven't been blessed with kids. Maybe you don't feel that way about them. They are a blessing. I don't know how morning went today, so we'll see. Some of you aren't married. You're single, and you've been blessed with singleness. Because you know what? Single people, you can do a lot more than us married people can. There's a lot of things that you can do and accomplish in life. And so don't look at it as like a bad thing. Man, God has blessed you with this right now. Live in it, own it, use it. We've all been blessed with faith, hopefully, if you know Jesus Christ. How are you stewarding your faith? Are the choices that you're making every day honoring to God? Are the actions and words that come out of your mouth pointing people to Jesus? Or are they pointing to something else that is not Jesus? How do we steward that? We've all been blessed and gifted with talents and abilities. Tons of talents and abilities, a lot that aren't even being used. We got a great class coming back in a couple weeks. Our membership classes are starting up again. 2 weeks from today on the 20th, there's more information in your bulletin about it, but the 301 membership class talks specifically about helping you discover your shape in life, discover these spiritual gifts and heart and abilities and personality and experiences and how to use those for God. We've been given these talents and abilities. We've all been blessed with money. Some a lot, some a little, some hardly at all. But it's a blessing. Paul talks in Philippians about, hey, man, I've learned how to be joyful no matter how much I have. Because it is a blessing. Some of you have been blessed with a job. Some of you, maybe you don't have a job right now. This is a tough time for that. Man, I remember 2 years ago when my wife lost her job. It was devastating. But I can say this, within weeks, we were able to look at that and see how many blessings came from God moving her out of that job. And 2 years removed from it, man, I can't even count the blessings and how thankful I am that God directed that. So sometimes losing a job is even a blessing for us. We've been blessed with friends, with hope in Jesus, our mind, our thoughts, the voice that God has given us to use for Him, for His glory, all a blessing. We've been blessed with hard seasons in life. James says to consider it pure joy when you go through the tough times. Consider it a blessing because you know God's going to do great things because He always does great things through you. Some of you are retired. That sounds like a big blessing to me. I got to be honest. And so you might be bored. I don't know, but there are many things that you can do with retirement. That's a huge blessing. There's so many more. Okay, all of these blessings, all of these gifts, all of these things can be used for God's glory. But also, all of them can sit unused. Some of them can sit unused, packed away in a box, never opened in your basement. What are you going to do with these things? What are you going to do? Are you going to be a steward of the gifts that God has given you? I want you to listen to this story, this parable of Jesus. Listen to these words. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000. To another, he gave $2,000. And to a third, he gave $1,000, depending on their abilities. And then he left. And so here, let me recap. This guy's going on vacation. He calls his three servants and he's like, hey, I'm going to give you $5,000. give you 2,000, give you 1,000 based on your abilities and these responsibilities that we're delegating, and I want you to go do something with this, all right? So he goes, and then right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. So 5,000, now 10,000. The second did the same, 2 grew to 4. But the man with a single 1,000 dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. So after the long absence, the master of those 3 servants came back and settled up with him. And the one given $5,000 showed him that he doubled his investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. That's great. The servant with 2,000 showed how he also doubled his master's investment. He commanded him, good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. Now, if you're the third servant standing there watching this happen, you're like, uh-oh, I didn't do anything. The servant given 1,000 said, Master, hey, I know you got high standards and hate careless ways. And remember, you can make progress or you can make excuses. This guy lays them on pretty thick. That you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid that I might disappoint you. That's like 5 excuses in one sentence here. So I found a good hiding place and I secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? Because the least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most and get rid of this play it safe, who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into utter darkness. Whew. So this is talking about us. This is for us because we've all been given something. In fact, we've been given a lot of somethings. I just went over that big list, remember? This parable gives a clear picture of what God desires for us to do with regards to what he's given us, with regards to what he's blessed us with. We're called to multiply it. He wants us to multiply it, to use those blessings. We're supposed to steward them well. God didn't just give you a gift so you could go bury it in your backyard. It's not honoring to God, nor is it helpful, nor is it healthy for you to bury what you've been given. And listen, we bury things for all different reasons, right? Maybe it's fear. Maybe we bury it because we just feel like we don't have enough time, or maybe we're lazy, or maybe we're really insecure. Lack of self-confidence. Listen, God's desire is for us to use those gifts that we've been given, to use those blessings for his glory. That's what he wants. Don't be satisfied that your bones are good and then just coast through life. That's not what he wants. This verse in Matthew gives you a clear picture of how God feels about that. And if we aren't good stewards of what we've been given, we run the risk of missing countless blessings from God. And even more important, we run the risk of missing opportunities to show others an example of what grace looks like and hope and forgiveness and love. We miss those opportunities. Our faithfulness and our good stewardship, that actually points people to Jesus. When we're using the gifts he's given us, that points people to him. When we're obedient to God's call, more people will encounter Jesus every day through how we are living our life. So are you actively doing something with what you have? Listen to this verse in James. He said, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Underline that. Can that kind of faith save anyone? I mean, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing. You say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, be well, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. Well, what good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Faith by itself isn't enough. The bones by themselves aren't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, unless you're stewarding these gifts that God has given you, it's dead and useless. You've just buried it. And if you've just buried everything God has given you, you're missing the mark. God gives us gifts to use, not to give back. And let me say this about this verse. I think a lot of times people read this verse and they're like, hey, if I don't do a bunch of good things, then I could lose my salvation. That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about what we're talking about here. It's saying if you got faith in Jesus and you choose to not actively live it out, to bury it, then your faith is useless. That's what this is saying. It's dead to the world. God isn't able to use it to reach others. This is all about being a good steward of your faith and hope and all the blessings that God has given us. So how do we steward? How do we steward what we've been given well? How do we do this? How are you stewarding and managing your faith? I think Paul gives us a pretty good picture of this and what it looks like. And so we're going to kind of live in this verse in Romans 12, 1 and 2 for the rest of the time. I just want you to listen to this. Here's what he says. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life. And I want you to place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. This is one of my favorite verses. This is God's call to action. This is his call to action for us. I mean, if you think about it, this is Romans 12. Romans 1 through 11, that whole journey right there, that's all about the bones. That's all about making sure the bones are good. But then we get to this point in Romans 12, and it starts with that word so. Other translations start with the word therefore, which means that, okay, take all that stuff you learned, and then let's do this. That's what all this means. Now that you have all this, now it's go time. It's time to start living on purpose. It's time to start living for God. It's time to stand up and it's time to stand out for him. Another translation, this verse says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. We should be set apart. Our house should stand out. So we're going to unpack this verse a lot more here in a few minutes. But before we do, I want you to listen to this song. And as you listen to it, I just want you to listen to these lyrics, these words, and just really think on them.
And I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. And I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror, 'cause I don't want to trade your plans for something familiar. And I don't want to waste the day, and I don't want to stay the same. I wanna be different, I wanna be changed, till all of me's gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright, the whole world can see that there's something different, so come and be different in me. I don't wanna spend my life stuck in a pattern, and I don't wanna gain this world but lose what matters. And so I'm giving up everything because I wanna be different. I wanna be changed to all of me's gone, and all that remains is a fire so. Something different, so come and be different. Oh, I know that I am far from perfect, but through you the cross still says I'm worth it. So take this beating in my heart and come and finish what you started. When they see me, let them see you. I just wanna be different. Yeah, I wanna be different. I wanna be changed. Till all of me's gone and all that remains, oh, is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different. I just wanna be different. So would you be different?
Man, that was beautiful. I love that song. I love the line in it. It says, I don't want to spend my life stuck in a pattern. I don't want to gain this world, but lose what matters. I like the message of that song. It's so powerful that we're not supposed to blend in. We're not supposed to blend in. If we're going to be who God made us to be, then we're going to be different than everyone else. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. We're not supposed to be like those neighborhoods where every single house looks the same. We're not supposed to be that way. When we live for God, when we charge after Jesus, when we use our gifts to the fullest, we're going to stand out. We're going to be like that electric blue house in all the brown houses. I pass it every day on the way. I love that house. I love that it stands out. I don't know who lives there, but I want to meet him. I think it'd be awesome. And I know that standing out scares some of you, because I know there's a huge percentage of us that would love to just blend in, that like not being noticed. But you know what? You know what blending in is? It's burying your money. Blending in is burying your money. It's playing it safe. It's living in fear. We got to dare to be different. Dare to live the life that God wants and desires for you to live. So let's look at this. If our bones are good, when they're good, when we've got a life rooted in Jesus, we've identified those blessings in our lives, those gifts that God has given us, we've identified those things, then we ask the question, so, okay, well, what do I do with them? Now what? How do I wisely steward what I've been given? How do I start living the life that God wants me to live? Remember, we just read in Matthew that God doesn't want us to bury those gifts. He doesn't want that for us. He wants us to multiply them and maximize them. So how do we do that? How do I wisely steward the house I've been given? Well, first, write this down. We need to recognize I need God's help and receive it. I need to recognize I need God's help and receive it. And it's one thing to recognize I need God's help. I think the harder part a lot of times is receiving it, to let him help, because letting God help means that we're going to have to let go of control. Letting God help means that I'm going to have to actually recognize that I never really had control in the first place. Letting him help is hard. But when we do that, we move one step closer to really, really living. In Romans 12, it says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. We can't do this without God. Paul knew this. If he just said, here's what I want you to do, and then he listed a whole bunch of stuff, the first thing that I think a lot of times we do is, okay, well, I'm just going to have to figure this out. I'll just rely on kind of my skills and what I know. And that's not good, right? Paul knew that if we did that, we would fail, because when we try to do things our way, we're just imperfect people. We're not perfect. Our way is flawed. It's prone to selfishness. It's prone to sin. because we're sinners. And so right off the bat, Paul says, hey, man, you're going to need God's help to pull this off. We're going to need God's help to do this. And we do need his help. We need his wisdom and his direction and his mercy and his grace. We need all of it. So as I said earlier, it's not enough just to recognize we need God's help. We actually need to let him take the reins. We need to let him drive. We got to let go and allow him to show us the way. So what is it that you're holding on to right now that you just don't want God to take, or you haven't been able to let go yet? I encourage you, write that down. Pray about that thing. Pray, God, give me the strength to let it go. But God, more than anything, I need your help. I can't do this without your help. Ask him for help. Then next, if we want to steward our life well, Paul says, I need to offer my whole life for God to use. Offer my whole life for God to use. I realize that's a pretty big statement. It's pretty daunting to think, my whole life? Jeez, how am I supposed to do that? And it'd be nice if there was like some sort of one-time deal where I'm like, okay, I'd like to do this, and then it's good. But it's not that way. Our life, this is a moment-by-moment, minute-by-minute, day-by-day kind of thing, an offering to God. Listen to how Paul describes it here. He says, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So how do we do that? What does that mean to place my life before God as an offering? It means to commit your life to him. And specifically, it means to commit to having my life represent God in every area. That my sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, that would represent him in every area. And there's a couple things, realistically, there's a couple things we need to do to help make this happen. Some things that we need to consider if we're really going to do this, if we're really going to offer our lives and live our lives this way. Because we can't offer our whole lives to God if we don't do these things. So first is this, I can't really offer my life to God if I don't trust that his way to live is the best way to live. I'm not going to offer my life for him if I don't trust that his way is the best way. I got to trust that God's way of handling money is the best way to handle money. I got to trust that God's way of parenting is the best way. I got to trust that God's way is the best way to do relationships, and that God's way is the best way to love my spouse and to approach marriage. That his way is the best. Because, yeah, if I don't believe that his way is the best, why am I going to trust him? Why am I going to offer my life to him? Well, listen, we can trust God because we've seen his track record. We can trust God because we can look back and see his faithfulness. We see it in scripture and we see it in our own lives. And we need to cling to it when we see it. We need to remember what God has done and how he's guided us every step of the way. And as we remember his faithfulness, when you remember his faithfulness, that strengthens our trust in him. It strengthens our trust in him. We have this tendency to live in the now and we forget all that God has done in the past. In the very beginning of the Bible, God delivers the nation of Israel out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt and he gets them out of there. He saves them, he rescues them to the point where they're being chased and he even parts the Red Sea so that they could go through it, and then he closes it up again. So they don't get caught. So God has delivered them from all of these things, and yet to take them to this promised land that he promised to them. But they're idiots, and they keep forgetting what he's done, and they keep making stupid mistakes and worshiping idols and praising everything but God. And this goes on for 40 years. And towards the end, Moses says this to them when they're finally getting close. He says this to them. He says, when God, your God, ushers you into the land he promised through your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, you're going to walk into large, bustling cities you didn't build, well-furnished houses you didn't buy. You're going to come upon wells you didn't dig, vineyards and olive orchards that you didn't plant. And when you take it all in and settle down, pleased and content, make sure you don't forget how you got there. Underline that. Make sure you don't forget how you got there. God brought you out of slavery in Egypt. When we remember God's faithfulness to us, when we don't forget how we got here, when we remember his track record and his goodness to us, it strengthens our trust in him. We trust him more and more and more. And next, if we're really seeking to offer my whole life to him, first, we got to trust that his way is the best way to live. But second, I got to follow God's instructions on how to live. We got to follow his instructions. I mean, it makes sense, right? If I'm going to live for him, I probably need to follow what he says. And that's reading the Bible. It's putting it into practice in my life. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. When you're walking in the dark, it's helpful to have a light, right? No? All right, well, it is. One, to have a light to look so that you can see where you're going, but also to have a light right in front of you so you see what's right in front of you. Because when we don't have a light, we fall, we trip, we stumble, we step on Legos in the middle of the night, and then run into other things and break stuff and say things we hope no one ever heard. That's what happens when we don't have a light. I can only imagine. I'm just saying this, not, yeah, right? Uh-huh. I think sometimes that can be us, stumbling around in the dark, running into things, breaking things, because we can't see. That's us sometimes. God's word is a lamp to guide us always. It shines on the path to help us stay on track. Are you using his light? Are you spending time in his word? Are you seeking his wisdom? Because God's instructions are our roadmap through all of these crazy times. And if we're missing his instructions, if we're losing the map, we're going to wander off in the wilderness and get lost super quick. Ask yourself, am I following God's instructions? Am I following God's instructions on how he says I need to speak? The words that I say. Am I following God's instructions on what I'm thinking about, what my thoughts are resting on? Am I following God's instructions on how I give, on how I love my spouse, and how I love and lead my kids? Am I following his instructions? Am I doing that? Am I using his flashlight to light the way? Because when we can trust in him and when we can follow his lead, that's what it looks like to actually be able to offer our whole lives to him. That's what it looks like. And next, if I want to wisely steward what I've been given, I need to embrace what God has given. If I'm going to wisely steward it, I got to embrace what I've been given. You know that list of blessings that I went over earlier? Tons of blessings. This point, embracing what God has given, this is about seeing all that God has blessed me with, all that he's given me, and embracing them and accepting them as my responsibility. The things you have been given are your responsibility. God has given them to you. So we need to take ownership. When we talk about embracing what God has given, we take ownership of what God has blessed us with. And when we do that, we'll be able to steward it better. We got to change our perspective, because I think sometimes we're like, oh, this is someone else's problem, or someone else will take care of this, or oh, there's a lot of other people that have that gift, so I don't really need to use it. Those are excuses. You can make excuses or you can make progress. Those are excuses. Embracing what God has given you is taking responsibility. It's taking ownership, and it's honoring to God when we do that. Listen to this. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. It's saying, I see what you've blessed me with, God. I see that, and I'm going to care for it, and I'm going to grow it, and I'm going to make you proud in how I use these gifts that you've given. God, I see you've given me this gift or this ability or this voice or whatever it is, and I know that for whatever reason in the past, I've shied away from it. But God, I recognize you gave it to me to use, to steward, not to bury, not to hide it, but to use it. It's saying, God, thank you for this family that you've blessed me with. I'm going to steward it well. I'm going to engage like I never have before instead of just let life happen. Even those hard times in life, even those hard seasons, we look at those and take ownership of those. Say, God, I'm going to make you proud on how I steward this season. I'm going to make you proud on how I use this season to your glory. Because we know that God uses those seasons to grow us, to make us more like him. And he can use those to impact the kingdom big time. Do you know what happens when we embrace what God has done for us? It's worship. When I embrace something that God has given me, that is honoring to him. That is worship. When we embrace his plan, it's worship to his ears. When we steward and care for what he's given us, what he's entrusted us with, we're worshiping him. It's honoring to him. And think about it this way. Let's say you buy a gift for someone for Christmas. You buy him a really nice sweater. And you've spent a lot of time looking like, this is the perfect sweater for them. I can't wait to give it to him. And you give him the sweater like, oh, thank you. That's great. And then you leave. And then 2 weeks later, you run into them. Not scheduled, but you run into them. And you see them and they're wearing that sweater. How does that make you feel? Great, right? It makes you feel amazing. Like, oh man, they love my gift. That's awesome. Well, that's how God feels when we use the gifts he's given us. He's saying, oh, awesome. You're doing so great. I love that. Keep it up. But imagine how he feels if he gives you a gift, when you give someone a gift. If you give me a gift and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I'm just going to put it back in this box. I'm just going to bury it back here, put it under my bed. God has given you so many blessings and so many gifts. And his heart is desiring and yearning and excited for you to use them. That's what he wants from us. He is pleased, and so we got to embrace all that God has given us. Next, write this down. And this is a warning that Paul gives us. It says, be cautious of the culture around me. If I'm going to wisely steward these gifts that God has given me, if I'm going to use them and be wise about it, then I got to be cautious. Because I don't know if you noticed, most of popular culture isn't concerned with living the way Jesus lived. It's not really on their radar. All right, that's not a thing. The priorities of this world are vastly different from what we're striving for. And the problem is sin, right? The problem is sin. And sin, unfortunately, as we need to be cautious, sin can lead us to temptation. Because we're tempted all the time to want this or to look like that or to act like them or to do what they're doing so that we can fit in, right? That's the temptations all the time that are there. But all of that leads us away from what makes us special. Listen, you are a masterpiece, a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. We were created to be ourselves. We were created to be unique, not like everybody else. Listen to this in Romans 12. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Underline that. Star that. This is a warning. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. This is Paul's warning for us. Right in the middle of his call to action, he says, hey, whoa, be careful. Because if you're not paying attention, you could fall into bad habits real quick and lose yourself. And Paul knew that we would face temptation because honestly, sometimes it's just easier to fit in, isn't it? It's just easier to fit in than stand out. Of course it is. And slowly we begin to make concessions little by little. Oh, I'll just do this because everyone else is doing this. Or I'll just start talking like this because all my friends are talking like this. Or I'll watch that show because everyone else seems to be watching that show. And most shows nowadays are super virtuous. It's a slippery slope. Remember, we just talked about a few minutes ago that living for God means that trusting that his way is the best way to live. Not following what everyone else is doing. It's those little decisions every day. Those moments. Those choices we face that make all the difference. And when we fix our eyes on God, when we're focusing on His Word and His guidance, we're going to be able to have the confidence that when those decisions come, we can make the right decisions. When we hit that crossroads, we're going to make the right call. But we're only going to make it if we're focused and our eyes are fixed on Him. Don't forget Paul's warning. Ask yourself, what and who do you want guiding your life? What and who do you want guiding your life? If it's God, your decision will determine how you steward all that God has given you. And that's His warning for us. Next, if we want to be wise, I got to seize every opportunity God gives me. I'm going to seize every opportunity that God gives me. And opportunities are everywhere. Opportunities to love family and friends and coworkers and really complete strangers. They're everywhere. Opportunities to work hard and to use your gifts and your talents and to serve and you give of your time. God's constantly giving us opportunities. We just need to take Him up on it. And He's not asking us to be perfect at everything. He's asking us to just be willing. He's asking us to be obedient. Listen to this. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. That means we need to be paying attention. And if we're seeking God's wisdom throughout the day, we'll be able to recognize those opportunities and we will be able to respond to it. It's like we need to be living and walking around this life in a constant state of anticipation, just waiting to see what God's going to do next. It's waking up in the morning and praying, God, I pray that You give me countless opportunities to make a difference for You. God, help me see those. It's living in that anticipation that God's going to do great things because we see Him do great things all the time. And when God says go, we go. When God says jump, we say how high. We just go. Because sometimes we only get a short window of opportunity to respond, to help or care or listen, to steward that opportunity before us and to multiply God's love and His gifts. And Paul knows that a lot of times, I don't know if you're like me, but a lot of times we like to put stuff off till later. Like we'll see something like, oh, that sounds awesome. I'll just do that tonight. Or I'll do that next week. Sometimes we don't have that luxury. I think that's why Paul puts in here that we need to quickly respond to it. You see, good intentions are not obedience. Good intentions are nothing unless you act on them. And so, yeah, he says quickly. Why don't you circle the word quickly in that verse? Because I think that's important. That's why Paul says to quickly respond so that you're not a victim of having good intentions but not acting on them. So we got to commit to seizing every opportunity that God gives us. And finally, as we seek to steward and we seek to manage these gifts, this house that we've all been given, He wants us to live life to the fullest. Live life to the fullest. Live it up. He wants you to love life. He wants to live your best life, and He wants the best for us. Listen to this. God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. You're going to have your best life because God wants to bring that out. If you're stewarding those gifts, it's going to be your best life. He wants the best for us, and when we steward and manage all those things, He's going to bring the very best out of us. And this doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, but we will be able to approach life with a clear head and a discerning heart. And I want that. You want that? I want that. I want that best life. I want to live life to the fullest. You know, for the last couple months, we've been looking at what it means to have a solid foundation in life. That everything is set up for success. We know our bones are good, that foundation is right. Now, if we're serious about really living life to the fullest, once we know those bones are good, then we need to commit to being a wise steward of this house, these gifts that God has given us, that He's waiting in anticipation for us to use, that He's so excited to see us love and use. We can't just let life happen and go along for the ride. We can't just blend in to the rest of the world around us. We were made to stand out. We were made to be different. We're made to make a difference. You're made to make a difference. God wants to do amazing things in and through you. And as we've looked at the good bones, as we've looked at what that solid foundation in life is, every single place we look keeps pointing back to Jesus being the very center. Jesus being the very core of our life. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that kind of hope, forgiveness and grace and freedom of this life, then I don't want you to go anywhere today without hearing about him. So I need to tell you about Jesus. You know how much Jesus loves you? He loves you so much that he died for you. 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth and he died for you and for me. And yeah, we weren't even born yet, but he did. And the reason he died is because when we're born, all of us, we're born with sin. And sin is a nasty infection that we can't get rid of. And sin separates us from God's love. And sin is what causes us to do all those things that we're trying not to do, right? Sin's what does that. It leads us there. And it separates us from God's love, and it separates us from spending eternity with him. And God loves you so much that he could not bear the thought of being separated from us. And so he did the only thing he could. He sent his son Jesus, his perfect only son, to come to this earth and to pay the price for our sins with his life. He sacrificed his life so that we could receive the free gift of salvation. He sacrificed his life so that we could know freedom and hope. He sacrificed his life so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. And he did it all because he loves you, because he wants the very best for you. And the Bible says if we want to receive this free gift of salvation, we don't have to do a ton of stuff. It's not about being good enough. It's not about the fact that, man, if I did all these bad things, I'm disqualified. That's not true at all. The Bible says if you want that free gift of salvation, if you want to know hope and grace and forgiveness and freedom, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. Believe that he died for you. Believe that he gave his life so that you could have life. Just believe in him. Would you do me a favor and just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? If today, for the first time, you truly understood what Jesus' love looked like for you, and what God's love looked like, if today, for the first time, you're saying, I believe in him. I believe that he did that for me. Man, I want to celebrate with you. In just a moment, if you made that decision to place your faith in Jesus, to believe in him, all you have to do is just say, God, I believe in you. I believe that Jesus did that for me, that he died for my sins, and that he rose again on the third day, conquering sin and death. I believe that he did that for me. If that was you, in just a moment, I'm going to have you slip your hand up. And raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know who you are so I can be praying for you. So if today you're saying, I believe in Jesus, would you just slip your hand up? Praise God. Praise God. And if you placed your faith in Jesus today, whether here or at home, as you're watching online, we would love to be able to answer any questions, to come alongside you, whatever that looks like. You can let us know who you are at some point today. You can just text the word believe to the number 313131. And someone will be in touch with you. Be able to get you any resources, answer any questions you might have. For all of us, let me just pray right now. Father God, thank you for loving us the way that you do. Thank you for blessing us and heaping gift upon gift and blessing upon blessing on us. And God, it's our heart's desire that we would be able to steward those gifts well, that we would manage those gifts well, that we would not bury them. Lord, help us. Help us to dig all those things we've buried up. And finally, put that sweater you gave us on. Finally put that ability or that talent you gave us, finally be able to step up and be the dad or mom or husband or wife that you want us to be and you've meant us to be. God, we need your help. It's the very first thing it said in that verse, God helping you. We need your help. We need you. God, we commit to living our lives for you, to using and managing and stewarding those gifts that you've given us well for your glory as an act of worship to you. God, we love you. And I pray that as we live the rest of this day and week and month, I pray that we would make you proud in how we embrace you and the gifts that you've given us and how we love you. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song together. Before we do, I just want to remind you and really tell you about an amazing opportunity and responsibility and blessing that we have. And that's to give back to God. You can give through Grace Church to make a difference. And I say give through Grace Church because you're not really giving to Grace Church. You're giving through. When you give your money, when you give back what God has given you, you're giving to this community that we care for. You give to our online experience, which means you're giving to how we're ministering and caring for people all over the world. You get to be a part of that. And I don't want you to miss that opportunity. So we got offering boxes here as you leave through those doors, ways to give there, but you can also give online. You can go to our app and give through our app. I just don't want you to miss that. This calling, this responsibility, this opportunity we have, this blessing we have to give back to God. Don't miss that. Would you do me a favor? Would you stand? And I just invite you to stay, and I want you to sing these words out and just dedicate these words. It's just you and God. Sing these to Him.